Ooh, I want to welcome you to another lesson in the Lead Yourself First program. I'm Tom Cooper, and I'm so glad you've joined me for this lesson. Today, we're talking about resolving conflict. Now, Lead Yourself First is your personal growth program. John Maxwell says, if you work with people, you're going to have conflict, and people are messy. And Lead Yourself First is your system to help you develop the leadership and people skills that are going to help you today and every day going forward. Where there are people, there will be problems. You know, people and problems go together. And if you have the skills to work through conflicts with other people, you are going to be in a position to do more and grow more than other people. This skill is foundational. It's critical, and it's super valuable. Over my career, I discovered that there was more to being successful than just being good at my job. And part of being good at my job was skills that I didn't realize that I needed to have. And this is what we're talking about here in Lead Yourself First. It was a great day for me professionally when I realized that I could learn these skills that were outside my core job, so to speak, that were softer skills or not as tangible necessarily, but they paid, and they paid big results. When you have those types of tools available to you, you know, we all can improve when it comes to leadership and influence and getting things done with other people. Now, before we jump into this lesson, my question for you, this lesson, and for all the lessons in Lead Yourself First, is how are you going to act? This is important. We're thinking about our personal development, our personal growth, the changes that we personally are going to make. So ACT is an acronym: apply, change, and teach. What's an idea you can apply? What's something you can put into practice today from this? Change. What's something that you can do differently based on the way that you have learned and applied? What's apply, change, or teach? Now, I don't mean get on a call like this and do a teaching. What I mean is be a river, not a reservoir. Share your learnings as you're learning. You don't have to have it all figured out when you start to share. It's important to pass it along. It's part of your growth and development is sharing that with other people. Now, I've been looking forward to today's lesson, and I look forward to it because John is right. Where you have people, you have problems. And the great, great, great news is that these problems are solvable. Now, over the next few minutes, I'm going to give you some great ideas about solving problems with people and resolving conflict, not in a win-lose kind of way, but in a win-win kind of way that really grows your performance as a team. And if you will take and apply just one idea from this lesson, you're going to have shorter conflicts and fewer conflicts than other people have. And you're going to have better outcomes. That is, I can commit to you that that will happen. Now, also aware that you might want some help working on these skills. And at the end of the lesson, I'm going to share a way that you can do that. Fair enough? Now, as we jump in, I love to debate with other people. It's fun for me. I love the exchange of ideas, and even an energetic, loud, passionate interchange is something I really enjoy, as long as we can be respectful. What's fun for me about the debate is the exchange of ideas and the process of kind of fleshing out an argument intellectually. But along my journey, I have learned that not everyone loves conflict. In fact, some people would rather endure lots of physical discomfort than engage in a verbal disagreement. And not only that, but my work in personality assessments like DISC profiles helps me to understand there are multiple ways, multiple kinds of responses to having conflict, and some lead to good relationships and some lead to bad outcomes. And based on my DISC style, I'm not a huge fan of the actual conflict itself, but I am willing to have a tough conversation because at my core, I really do want to have a good connection with other people. Now, there are two key phases to resolving conflict, and neither of them depends on being able to point your finger at the other person's wrongness. Fundamentally, and this is critical, we have conflict with other people when what we experience is in conflict with what we expected. We have frustration with other people because we had missed expectations. It's those missed expectations that lead to your disappointment, lead to your frustration. If you and I are working together and you always behave the way I expect, I'm far less likely to get frustrated with you than if you do things differently than I expected you to do that. And I also want to point out that we all like to think of ourselves as nice, reasonable people. But the behavioral science research shows that we behave emotionally. In fact, we are frequently irrational, darn it. What we find is, especially when we're in conflict, our emotional brain hijacks our rational brain, and we find ourselves in a freeze, fight, or flight mode. None of those options end well when it comes to human relationships. So what should we do? What can we do when we find ourselves upset with somebody? And this is where we get back to that point. There are two phases to resolving conflict that we're going to talk about in today's lesson. Phase one, we're going to talk about getting ready to resolve the conflict. We'll call that the core. And phase two is the actual conversation, and we'll call that the XYZ. So today we're talking about core and XYZ. And phase one is core. It's a tool that I learned from Dr. Les Parrott. And Parrott has spent decades doing research and academic studies on conflicts and conflict resolution. And he discovered that preparing properly for the conflict can be extremely helpful. He created the memory tool CORE to help us remember what to do as we're preparing for that conversation. CORE stands for cooperation, ownership, respect, and empathy. Boy, that's a lot. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Cooperation, ownership, respect, and empathy. So let's walk through those one at a time. As you're getting ready for the conflict with the other person, you want to think about C, cooperation. Now, what in the world does cooperation have to do with conflict? John Maxwell teaches us that connectors connect on common ground, and the best place to start is a place where we agree. You think about the areas where you can agree. What is the common ground between you and the other person? And very few people set out to start a fight with somebody else. Most of the time, in fact, the vast majority of the time, no one wanted to start a fight at the beginning of a conflict. We just find ourselves wandering in and getting flattened. But you could lead with your intent. Can you think of a positive outcome that works for both of you? Can you think through ways that you could have a shared goal? For example, you both might want the same outcome, that a problem at work is solved. It's just that you and the other person are approaching the problem from different directions. Different's not wrong, it's just different. Can you agree on the same finish line? Can you find a place where both of you are satisfied with whatever the outcome is? But the point here is this, in the vast majority of conflicts, the big blow-up, it doesn't come from your position. It comes from how the other person feels in the situation. This is so valuable. I want to repeat this again. In the vast majority of conflicts that you're going to experience, the big blow-up does not come from whatever it is you want to have happen at the end. It comes from how the other person feels in the situation. And this is why your tone of voice, your facial expressions, your body language, they're so powerful in the process of causing a conflict and in the process of resolving a conflict. It's likely once you are a little bit distanced from the event that sparked that disagreement, you can probably find a path toward an outcome you both support, and that'll allow you to focus on that outcome. So that's what the C is, cooperation. How can we cooperate toward the same outcome? Now let's turn to the O in CORE, ownership. Ownership. Now this is the easy one, right? Because when we talk about ownership, we're going to assess whose fault was the conflict? Whose fault was this? And that's simple. It's always the other guy's fault, right? But seriously, while the other person is at fault many times, I argue most times, if we're honest with ourselves, though, we probably played a part in the problem, too. In fact, I'd go even farther than that. I'd say that 100% of the time, there is a shared responsibility for the conflict that's happening. Even if the other guy is responsible for 99% of the problem, and you're only at 1%, now I'd be skeptical of your numbers, but let's go with that, right? Let's go with that. Even if you were only 1% at fault, that's still 1%. And you need to take 100% responsibility for your part of the problem. You need to take 100% responsibility for your part. So, for example, when the other person said that thing that fired you up, is it possible? Is it even possible you reacted too quickly? Is it possible that you were defensive? Is it possible that there was more than one way to interpret the events and you chose the worst possible way to interpret them? Is there anything you did that might have escalated the problem or made the problem worse? Years ago, I had a conflict with my boss. He'd gone directly to one of my team members, and he gave that person work to do. Now, naturally, that person felt that the assignment from my boss was higher value and higher urgency than the things I assigned to him. And naturally, that person also wanted to please my boss, and so he chose to focus on the work my boss assigned to him rather than the work I had planned for him to do. Now, from a leadership perspective, my boss should not have skipped me. And part of the issue there was the team was growing, and my boss wasn't used to having anybody in middle management beneath him. He was used to calling the shots. And part of the issue was that my boss, he'd been reluctant to have that person report to me directly because he really liked having that guy jump when he said jump. And all this was true, and my boss was in the wrong. So I have no ownership, right? Well, it turns out, remember I said it's not your position, but it's how people feel about your position? Well, I felt disrespected. I felt like my boss had slighted me. And I felt like my boss had undermined my authority. And this was not the first time he had done it. So I felt like he was a repeat offender. I chose to think that he was insensitive to my position and my role. And he had been intentional about making me look bad with the team. My ego was bruised and I got upset. Now, my boss's work was such, he worked remotely a lot, and I did too. And I was so fired up about this that I chose to confront him about it. I chose to confront him over the phone rather than wait until I had cooled off and wait until we were both in the office. I remember being on the phone in my home office talking to him, and that did not go well. And I did escalate, and I remember yelling at him, which I do not recommend. But as I look back on that, when I was able to be honest with myself, I had to realize that even though my boss was wrong to do what he did, I was wrong to interpret it in the worst possible way. And I also chose to get angry with him when he was defensive, and I chose to yell at him. Not a good choice. I'm sharing this story in the hopes that you'll learn from something I've done wrong. When it comes to ownership, I had to be 100% responsible for the choice I made about how to respond to what my boss had done. When it came to resolving the problem, I needed to own up to the exact things that I did wrong. And we'll talk some more about this a little bit later in the lesson. So now we've talked about cooperation, C, and O, ownership. Now let's talk about R, respect. And this is where we need to see if we can find a way to be respectful as we discuss the problem. Normal people don't start out with a goal of hurting other people. Almost all conflicts are accidental in nature because most of us, well, if we're honest, most of us are selfish and we just don't think about you. But we need to come up with a game plan about how we can communicate respectfully. The fact is that humans are complex, and we often don't even know why we did that thing we did. And there's simply no way for us to be certain the intent that someone else had, and it's usually not helpful for us to assume it was a negative intent. The best way to do this is to focus on the behavior, not the intent of the other person. And we also want to be careful not to talk about their character. Again, just the behavior. And we'll talk about that more in the XYZ section, phase two of the conflict resolution. All right, so we've talked about cooperation, ownership, and respect. Now let's talk about E, empathy. This is where you put yourself in the other guy's shoes. Try to be as objective as you can be. Do you think that they started out with the intent to hurt you? You know, that's the thing with my boss. Was he intending to hurt me? No way. No way he wasn't. Ask yourself, is there any possible way they could have been intending to do right and they accidentally offended you? Because I promise you, that is the case in the vast, vast majority of the relationships you have. Relationships with normal people do not involve people being intentional about trying to attack or criticize or condemn or malign the other person. If you find yourself in a relationship like that, that's an unhealthy thing that you gotta break free from. But I'm talking about normal relationships here. Dr. Phil McGraw said, you would not be so concerned about what other people think about you if you knew how rarely they did think about you. So we go back to that conflict with my boss. He was an action-focused guy. He was used to going directly to people and telling him what he wanted. That's his pattern for a long time, and habits are hard to break. I doubt it even entered his mind that he ought to think about being supportive of my role as a middle leader. He wanted something done. Understanding his perspective, or even speculating with a positive intent about his perspective, giving him the benefit of the doubt, that's usually very, very helpful when it comes to resolving a conflict. So we talked about cooperation, ownership, respect, and empathy. This is where we're preparing to have a conversation with somebody. I'm mad. Things didn't work the way I wanted. I want to change it. I want to fix it. I want to move forward in this. How can I do that? I need to think through what's the goal we can work toward, what's the ownership that I had in the problem, how can I communicate respect, and how can I begin to feel the things the other person feels, right? That's what we're doing before we have that difficult conversation. Now we're going to turn to phase two, where we actually engage directly with the other person. Because all this first phase is preparation. And when we engage with the other person, that's challenging because people are messy. We have to keep this engagement phase simple because our emotions can absolutely run away with us, especially when we're dealing with emotionally charged issues. And because that's the case, here's the tool we're going to use for phase two. My favorite tool is the XYZ formula. XYZ. It's simple. You won't forget it. And if you stick to it, you're going to win. XYZ. In situation X, when you did Y, it had Z impact. X, Y, Z. It's simple as that. In situation X, you did Y, it had Z impact. Let's walk through an example. You're in a meeting. One of your peers is sitting there. He's looking at his phone. And the boss is looking for everybody's input. And while you're talking, your peer looks up at you and then starts making faces, disapproving faces. Eventually, he folds his arms, he rolls his eyes, and he sighs, and then he looks away. Can you imagine anything more disrespectful than this? Finally, he picks up his phone, and just for the rest of the meeting, he fiddles with his phone. And worse than being disrespected in public by your team member is your boss seems to be kind of following cues from the team member, and your boss's reaction to your great idea, it's lukewarm at best. Another thing that's super frustrating is that this is a good idea. You know this idea is going to work. It represents some of your best thinking. And just the other day, you mentioned it to this team member, and he responded positively. Now, why in the world would this guy do something like that? You feel like he yanked the rug out from under you, and you're so angry that he was being so disrespectful and even contemptuous. Why was he being such a jerk? Now, this is one of those moments where your emotional brain can hijack you right into freeze, fight, or flight. But rather than decide to respond in the moment, you choose to take the two-phase approach. You get some distance physically and time-wise, and you start thinking about core. Cooperation. What could you do? What could your goal be? How could you cooperate? How could you both agree on a direction you need to go? Well, maybe what you could say is, I want to have a good working relationship with my peer, and I want to work through this conflict. Most people at work could agree to that goal. That can be your cooperation. Doesn't have to be complex. Could be that simple. Now let's talk about ownership. Now this one's a little bit fuzzy. You really don't know what was happening with that team member other than what you observed. And what part did you play in this conflict? Well, one possibility is the way you interpreted what you saw affected what you perceived and affected how you responded. Maybe, just maybe, you were seeing something that wasn't even there. maybe there's more to it than that. Again, this may be your part in the problem. It's just your reaction to what happened. So now we go from cooperation and ownership to respect. Now, your reaction is he's being a jerk. And I got to tell you, if I was in that situation, and I have been, it has definitely been tempting to think that guy is a jerk. But you don't want a name call. So how can you deal with it? Well, what is it exactly that he did that was upsetting? Well, this in this story, it's kind of the body language, isn't it? The eye roll, the folded arms. How can you in your communication, rather than conclude that guy was being rude or that guy was being disrespectful or that guy was being a jerk, how can you focus respectfully on the behavior of the other person rather than the character, their nature, his essence as a person? Focus on the behavior alone rather than your conclusions about the behavior. So cooperation, ownership, respect. Now we're talking about empathy. What was going on inside that person? Is it possible you don't actually know? I would suggest there's a strong, strong likelihood that you don't have any idea at all. Maybe he was physically in the room, but wasn't actually listening to you at all. We've got kind of a black box here. So we've talked our way through this, and we don't really know about how we can be empathetic because we don't know where the other person was. So you've got your core nailed down. Now you're going to think about the conversation. You pick a time that's going to be good for both of you. Don't do it in public, and don't do it in a short deadline. Hey, we got 2 minutes before the rush comes in. Let me try and work this out with you. That's not going to go well. Make sure there's time to talk. It doesn't have to be an hour. It might be 10 minutes, 15 minutes on the counter. Grab a cup of coffee. Go to lunch with them. You do it in a way that can be private to just the two of you in a spot where you're comfortable and can have good interaction. This is going to set you up for more success. If either one of you is feeling time-crunched or in an awkward place or an awkward time, it's not going to work. It doesn't have to be a big deal. This can be very, very quick. So XYZ, in situation X, you did Y, it had Z impact. So what was the situation? It was during the team meeting. Now, I want to point out, it's not always you have a tendency to, people say you. No. In the team meeting. In this specific situation, it was during the team meeting when the boss asked for my ideas about the project. So that's the situation. You did Y. So X, Y. You rolled your eyes, you folded your arms, you sighed, you looked away. That's the Y. This is what you did. And he can't dispute that those were things that happened, right? And it had Z impact. I felt like our boss rejected my idea because of your reaction, at least in part. I didn't like it, and I didn't like the way it felt. So you go put all that stuff together. You want to go see your coworker. You're going to call coworker Joe. Joe, I want to have a great working relationship, and something happened recently that upset me. Can we talk about it? Now, I want to repeat that again. This is a powerful script. Joe, I want to have a great working relationship with you. You state your intent. You're stating your goal. I want to have a great working relationship with you, and something happened recently that upset me. Can we talk about it? And we're going to assume that Joe is going to say yes to that. And here's what you say. The other day, when we were in the team meeting and the boss asked for my input, while I was talking, I noticed that you rolled your eyes, you folded your arms, and you sighed. And man, it just seemed like the boss was watching your reaction, and then he shot down my idea. I'm really confused and I'm frustrated about it because I thought you liked my idea when we talked about it before, and I didn't like the way that worked out, and I felt like you were shooting my ideas down too. And this is important. Can you help me understand what happened? Can you help me understand what happened? You're not attacking him. You're not criticizing him. You're saying you did this thing and it had this impact. What's going on? And notice you're asking, help me understand. And one possibility is that he'll say, yes, that was a stupid idea and the boss should have hated it. I've actually worked with some engineers who would say that, but that's actually pretty unlikely. The more likely outcome is you're going to have a different conversation altogether. In fact, he might say something like, I don't know what you mean. I didn't mean that towards you. I'm sorry if it came across that way. Now, I'm sorry if it offended you is weak tea. It's weak. But that might be the best you'll ever get. That might be all he can do, and you're going to have to be willing to accept it. And even if they say something like, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings, or I'm sorry if I upset you, obviously you're upset. But remember, a lot of people haven't had any guidance any time in their life about actually resolving conflict since kindergarten, and it's very difficult for all of us to admit when we're wrong. But what if his reaction is different? What if he looks at you and says, I don't have any idea what you're talking about? I did what? Oh, my dad texted me that morning during the meeting. I knew he needed to go to the doctor, and he was waiting for some test results, and it was bad news. And after I got that text from my dad, I wasn't paying attention to anybody. I mean, I was looking at my phone. I was Googling options for dad's treatment. I didn't have any idea that happened. I'm sorry. You see, it's a very different thing from your idea was stupid and the boss should hate it to I was so consumed with what was going on in my family that I couldn't connect with you during that time. You do not know what's going on in the other head of the other person's head. You just do not know. And even if you think you do, even if you worked with that guy for a long time and you think, oh yeah, I know exactly how that guy is, you really, really don't know. All you know is you saw what happened on the outside and you know what your reaction was to that thing. All right, we're landing the plane here. We're getting to the end of the lesson. Today in our lesson, we talked about core, cooperation, ownership of my part of the problem, being respectful, and empathy for the other person. And we talked about the XYZ formula. In situation X, you did Y, and it had Z impact. If you can take the time to prepare for your conversation and follow the XYZ formula, you will be astounded at how good you're able, how good a job that'll do at resolving the conflict. It's astonishing. So for your action plan, what are you going to do differently the next time you're facing a conflict? From today's lesson, who could you talk to about this and say, I heard this thing today. I heard this idea. Have you ever thought about that? Has there been a time where you try to resolve you're starting a conversation about the things that we're talking about. Maybe you're with your team and there's some underlying conflict that's happening in the team and it's a good opportunity to begin a conversation about healthy conflict resolution for your team. Now maybe you've got an ongoing conflict and you're looking for a way to get to the bottom of it, or if that's you, you might want to hear this. What would it be like if your troubling conflict was totally solved? If your relationship with that difficult person was actually a pleasant relationship, something you didn't dread every time? I care so much about this particular lesson, this issue, that I'm willing to offer the conflict coaching package. And this includes a worksheet on resolving the conflict and two coaching sessions with me. And imagine getting personalized help, strategizing about the root cause of the problem, and getting some help getting ready for that tough conversation. I'll help you break down to the core and help you frame up your XYZ, help you debrief after the conflict, and help you with your go-forward plan. Sound useful? Just $99. So if that sounds useful, drop me an email, tom@brighthillgroup.com, tom@brighthillgroup.com, and we'll get it set up. Thanks for being here for today's Lead Yourself First lesson, and I look forward to hearing from you next time.